Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Hannah.
Thank you both so much for coming tonight. We are really grateful.
Now, are there any football fans? Any Everton fans? No Everton fans here. I'm not surprised. I like you already because I'm a Reds fan. Hannah has come down from Everton. She's come all the way down. If any of you were thinking on the way here, maybe I'm not going to the right thing tonight, then know you're in good company. What did you consider doing when you were on your way down the motorway, down the M6?
Maybe turning around and going home.
Yeah.
In the spirit of honesty.
That's it. I appreciate that. And we'll find out a little bit more why in a minute. Take a seat for us, Hannah. So you're among friends. So can I just say that, echo what Simon said in terms of coming to an evening to talk about anxiety comes with a measure of risk, doesn't it? Anxiety is that thing that so many of us experience in circumstances, tough circumstances in the midst of life. And I don't know whether you've ever noticed this, but you don't write that into the script of your life. You don't think in terms of things that you want to achieve. I'd like to have periods of hard life dominating anxiety. We don't ask for that, do we? And it seems that so often anxiety can have a power in our life that we wish it didn't. But we can wake up with it in the morning, we can go to bed with it at night, sometimes struggling even to sleep. And it feels as if anxiety has invaded into our life. I didn't ask for this, but it seems to have come upon me. It wasn't part of my plan. And we're going to ask Hannah a little bit about some of her experiences, because anxiety wasn't really part of your plan, was it, really?
Nope.
Quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite, yes.
So tell us, just give us a little sense. What do you do? I've been asked about my day job. What do you do for a day job?
So I'm a doctor. So I work in intensive care. So I'm in my final year of training to be a consultant in intensive care medicine. And I work in Liverpool. So we train, so you go all around the region. But at the moment, I'm in the Royal, which is the big teaching hospital in the middle of Liverpool in their intensive care.
Okay, so I can imagine that in that kind of environment, low stress. Obviously, you have to work really hard to become a doctor. Mm-hmm. Now, so you're a registrar anaesthetist, is that right?
Intensivist is the really pretentious name we give it, but a registrar intensive care.
Okay,
person.
And so this isn't something that you just put your hand up for and they'll just go around the room and pick. This is something you've worked towards. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about why you wanted to get into medicine.
So I grew up with my mum being a GP, and I always wanted to be a doctor. I find people fascinating, and I guess I wanted to help people. I wanted to do a job that meant I could have the opportunity to kind of serve people.
And it's quite high demanding, isn't it? So you have to work through a process. You first of all have to pass the exams, get accepted to do medicine. Mm. Then you're amongst high-functioning people, yeah, who are very good at making things happen in life.
Yeah.
What was that whole experience like for you in terms of getting accepted, getting qualified, finding a job? What came up for you in that?
So I guess I was quite blessed in that quite a lot of that went quite well. So I'm pretty type A. I'm pretty highly strung, and actually medicine really rewards that. So medicine rewards people who are willing to, like, you know, work lots of hours and be competitive and want to be the best at whatever they're doing. And that's kind of, I guess, how I grew up and how quite a lot of my training was, and my kind of junior years of training was very much like, well, I'm going to get this done and I can sort this out. It's not a problem. It'll be fine.
Okay. And generally speaking, up till a few years ago, there was all these obstacles you had to come, but did you have any problems getting over them?
Not massively. That sounds awful, but most of the time things kind of went my way, and I could control things. I could make things happen the way I wanted them to.
And I bet you liked it like that, didn't you?
That's great. Who doesn't, let's be honest?
Yeah.
It's great when life just goes how you want, and the things that you want to control,
course,
you can. That's great.
A few years ago, some difficult things, mm-hmm, and it sort of shocked you a little bit, how much that impacted you. Talk about a few of those specific questions.
I'll start. You can interject. So I was working in theatres, so part of our training, we have to learn how to put people off to sleep for operations. And that was going okay until a day where I was left
very
in theatre,
bleeding
from every orifice, and died when we got him back to the intensive care unit. And In the space of a day, I just felt like a completely different person. I kind of went home, and I remember walking through the door of my house, and I was like, have you had a good day, Han? And I just went, no, I've had a terrible day. I really didn't sleep for more than about 2 hours for a couple of weeks, was really, really struggling, couldn't get this thought out of my mind of, of what had happened and kind of how her lecture should have done something differently.
Just scene of absolute horror happened.
And that was really difficult. And then I kind of had another couple of difficult experiences. And I guess was probably just about starting to get back on more of an even keel and feel a bit more like myself. And then COVID hit, which, as you can imagine, being a fairly senior intensive care registrar was not fun. So I was then going into work day after day, working long shifts, different patterns, seeing things that I just never ever thought I'd witness, and kind of suffering and horror that I never thought that I would have to witness, and then couldn't do anything about it. And I guess got to the space where I wasn't sleeping, I couldn't eat, I was really tight, sort of tearful, I had lots of kind of difficult some of those things, and ended up in
when life has come at them, you've always felt like you've been able to cope.
Shattering, I guess, like I suddenly couldn't cope. And there were all these things that were happening. I was like, I can't deal with this. And medicine, particularly intensive care medicine, it's not especially warm and fuzzy. We are generally things that we see and the things that we do don't really talk about emotions. I just couldn't.
Did you try to do it that way?
I tried really, really hard, and I just couldn't. I'd be able to get through a shift, and then I'd just sit in the car and not be able to drive, not be able to get home.
And I guess that. That being able to cope seems like
because I wanted to
change the way you feel about yourself.
Yeah, I think that made me feel like
colleagues, people who you looked up to, people helping you come to terms.
There were a couple who were great,
very
difficult conversation with a colleague who I said, I just feel like I'm being ridiculous.
And he looked me dead in the eyes and went, yeah.
And at that point, everything that I thought was a failure, that was being.
You'd finally come into something too uncomfortable, you didn't have the answers for.
Yeah.
Obviously, you'd been in
stress.
Difficult.
A lot of it was that
family
had asked me,
I couldn't
make
it better,
and I didn't know what to do.
I didn't know
there's
how.
There's probably intensive care are the people you call when you don't know what to do. So I know, like when I started my training,
that's
I remember going
to
and being the person that walks into whatever's going on
that.
Is like, right, okay.
Yeah, who doesn't like that? Like, you know, there's a real stress and a real pressure, but actually, when you can take a situation that's just chaos
and be like, right, this is what we're going to do, and actually, we might be able to make this person better, or we can make this situation less horrific.
Suddenly just not knowing.
I'm guessing I'm sitting in a room where there are plenty of people who like to know what to do, and we like to be able to feel that we can control.
You
said it was when you bumped into a situation.
A little bit more about
your ability
to
function.
So I guess in work I was mostly okay.
COVID hit,
and there was no time to be the edge crying in the corner. There was, you know, people sick coming out of our ears, and you just had to crack on and do your best. But outside of work, I was not particularly functioning, so
I didn't want to eat anything,
didn't want to, lost a lot of my confidence.
And would people at work have known this?
Not many, so I worked pretty hard so that they didn't know. So every so often it would come out, and I would just be really worried that everyone was going to find out that I wasn't okay and I wasn't that person that could cope.
It was mostly kind of people outside.
In terms of some of the images that were
pretty
very
horrific, so kind of whatever I would. There would be certain triggers, so kind of bleeding would be one, which is unfortunate when you're
and
adopted.
And things like even
I
random
things,
kind
like
of just
I
see
feel
those,
like I was there,
and
that
just
makes life really.
You
know, we had a church night and we had a
I
film on, and
I
was sat there being like, "Well, I'm watching a film. Like, I'm at a ladies' night. This is supposed to be fun." And actually, I was just like, I couldn't just work
through
to
all of this.
The staff, by the sounds of it,
not some of them, but not lots of them. Good friends, so of people
really,
who've loved me when I've been
like
sit on your sofa and cry. And I think kind of slowly but surely knowing that there is a God who sees.
How far down the track would you say you are
coming to terms, Anna, the person
with
who is competent, capable in so many situations?
I am further than I was.
Not going to happen.
I'm fine. Which obviously wasn't true, because I would say that like in floods of tears, having flashbacks. But there's like a real part of me that wants to cling on to that and go,
well, I can.
But there has also been like a real
that it's not
to not be
okay.
Hear that a little bit, sort of.
And we also don't like the idea.
When
we've talked.
How's that
going in terms of it being okay not to be okay?
It's like it's a constant kind of battle. I think the thing
just
that
knowing
I've really
that
actually,
okay? Jesus,
I can come to Him. So one of the things that I pray. So, like, I would sit at home and be really upset, and then. Then, like, once I'd sorted myself out, I'd be able to pray.
That's like
and now I think he has
kind of
a lot of praying, sitting on the sofa sobbing, or sitting in the car sobbing. I had a particularly difficult shift when I was doing paediatric intensive care, and I literally sat in the car on the way home and sobbed and shouted at God about every child on that unit.
was like, how dare you let that happen to that little baby and that little baby.
There's just
and that
a real freedom in knowing that
he sees
that
those little babies, he sees those
in the midst of your own degree of weakness that you're not particularly happy about. Sense of
powerful
God who even present and listening.
Yeah.
And obviously we've talked about the name of Jesus. How did you come to know about
from the beginning?
Give us the shortened version.
So I grew up in a family where it was quite important to be okay. But actually, we're okay. We're all right. You crack on. You're like, you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. Okay, great. Crack on. I had some great, my very scary but lovely next door neighbour who was a Christian and he was like, you come to church. And so she...
So there's something else you're scared about. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're learning now.
I've always been scared of her. You'd be scared of her. she's great, but she's really scary. And she, like, lovingly kind of took me along.
Came to know that Jesus was...
I could trust my whole life
has been a challenge.
That again and trusting him again with that.
Ideal Bible is true and Jesus ride for you, would you say so?
Yeah, definitely.
And so going for covering from a few things, number one, a trauma
that I am loved
is really helpful.
No matter so what. I don't have to prove that I'm okay.
He knows that I'm not okay, even if
that might be a surprise to me.
Can I just stop you there? Because that might be a surprise to some people in the room, because quite often I think as I chat to people that this idea that what we do is we bring our best version of ourselves. Difficult thing to come to terms with. Why?
Well, let's be honest, like the
have you been anything but honest so far? Carry on.
I don't know. You told me to be honest.
Okay.
I'm doing as instructed. I guess I would actually much rather be like, listen, I'm pretty awesome. And here's all the awesome things that I've done. And you're like the God of the universe and that's cool. But look at all these awesome things that I've done. And so would you like to love me? And while I feel like I can keep that pretense up, like that's great. That feels good. Because that's not kind of what that God is the God who accepts me when I'm a mess.
But there's a time when I was having just a really difficult time and we were doing communion
I was finding that difficult. And I was literally like at the back of church feeling like a total failure, being like, I can't even sit through communion, I'm a mess. And this little boy came over to me and just went, I just give you cuddle, hun. And gave me this massive hug.
It just reminded me.
Actually,
wait for me to be like God
sorted at the end of the service.
Yeah, it was great.
Love it. But actually, is the God who
can
is
I
like
push that a little bit.
Yes.
Because I can imagine around a lot of high functioning, capable people like to give out the idea they can wrestle life a particular way.
Yes. In a way, I get it. I get it more. I don't really want to get it, but do. So it probably makes me a bit more patient.
I guess how
so often the way I treat myself is where
people
for me.
Like
was actually, that's
and
not.
Just being able to sit
with being like, you know what, you might
okay
just
and
feel
God can cope
with that, and I can cope with that if that's where
as
we're
I'm
at.
Listening to that, I'm thinking along into our lives that put us under pressure, that
how we see ourselves,
how we treat our confidence. Tends to be really painful.
It
seems to be that quite often we can be at a point where we look back and think.
I think I struggle to accept it. So a lot of the time I'd be like, you know what, I just wish. I've prayed many a prayer of like, God, could you not just teach me this
I'm
in a different
way.
This teaching method? But actually, the God who created the universe loves me when I'm a mess. And
sounds
that
like real freedom. Sometimes you want to grab a hold of it and sometimes you want to hold
I'd
it
I'd rather
arm,
be like, yeah, I'm all right.
He knows I've
got
it all the time. And
then when I really see that I haven't got it,
that kind of has that
I'm
approach.
Really glad Hannah didn't turn around and drive back up the M6. Are you?
Really honest about the kind of person.
We love you, though. We do love her, don't we? And I just wonder, as I ask her to step down now, whether you'd be kind enough to show your appreciation for her honesty. Thank you. Yeah.